You are listening to Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford on ESPN 850 WKNR.
Somebody was talking to me the other day about the draft.
Yes.
And talking about tight ends. And they were kind of on the side holding out the Jordan Cameron, you know, concern that Jordan Cameron may not be back with the Browns next year. Now, Cameron had a very, very checkered season this year because of injuries. He was injured in the scrimmage during training camp down at the University of Akron with his shoulder. He missed the entire preseason after that. He played in the Pittsburgh game. He had a big play early, but he jammed
re-injured the shoulder.
Then he was out. Then he came back. Then he had that horrible hit over the middle on him against the Raiders with the concussion that took a long time. So your number was he played in about 6.5 games.
Missed six and a half games. So nine and a half games played.
Well, you know, 20,
but still only 24 receptions. Honest,
I would have thought he would have. He would have only played in about 6.5 games.
I know. By the feel.
By the feel.
Exactly.
And by the numbers, too. 24 catches on the year, 2 touchdowns, and they were both long plays.
Yes.
I mean, there was the one here against Pittsburgh, and there was the one that gave them the lead down in Carolina. How does he take that out onto the free agent market?
It's tough. And more so than anything, the one thing that you have to kind of reign supreme in my eyes, first and foremost, if I was being an evaluator, is – what system can he succeed in, as we saw him do so in the North Turner system?
Yep.
So that's going to pigeonhole his marketplace that has that wide open, deep, you know, type of offensive system. Not so much that quick hitter West Coast offense that a lot of teams run, but also, too, is the concern over those concussions. You know, with the protocol being in the forefront of everybody's minds is, you know, he's got 3. You know, he missed, you know, five games,
yeah,
you know, with a concussion this year.
Right.
You know, one more, and that also, too, I think that determines the amount of money that a team's going to throw at him. You know,
because the whole thing with
can he play 16 games,
yeah,
you
and
know?
Now, Jordan had missed games earlier in his career, too, because of injuries.
Yep.
Okay, and then he had when he did play that one year.
13.
He had a big
great
year. Yeah. Let's go to the Ohio Business Machines hotline right now. And joining us is our good friend and friend of the show, Gerard Cherry. Gerard, once a Patriot, always a Patriot?
I wouldn't quite go that far, but definitely support the Patriots.
But I mean, I'm from that area. I am from Boston and was once a season ticket holder with my dad at Schaefer Stadium, okay? And when Jim Plunkett was throwing to Randy Vataha and Bob Harpo Gladjo was their running back, until Sam Bam Cunningham came in. But I'm thinking that you must be very proud of them, I mean, to have played for them, because here's a system that has consistently worked.
Yeah, that part of you definitely say you're proud to be a part of, as far as the winning continuing and what that represents, because it's rare in the pro game that you can pinpoint something saying its genesis was in 2001,
right,
and it still carries on 14 to 15 years later. So that part of it certainly proud to be a part of and feel that you help establish something that's prominent and dominant in the NFL. Yeah, so in that regard, for sure. But I'll say one thing about that stadium you just mentioned.
Yeah.
It was probably the worst.
It was aluminum benches.
I swear,
I'm going to tell you, Gerard, I remember when it was built because they were going to move out of the area. They were going to leave Boston, okay, because they were playing at Fenway Park and they got kicked out.
Wow.
Okay, the Red Sox wanted them out. They then went, Gerard, to Harvard Stadium, which I believe the Romans played there, okay, back in the day, okay?
Right.
Then they played there. Then they went to Boston College, to that little alumni stadium that Boston College plays in there, which was about 30,000. And then finally they built this place out next to that dog track, right? Remember?
Right. Mm-hmm.
There was that racetrack out there, and they had them out there. I don't know if it was a dog track. It might have been trotters. The stadium, I think, Gerard, was built in a week and a half. That's how bad it was. It was awful. Yeah, it was awful. If you're Buster Screen, tell me what you're thinking right now about whether you come back here, or have you done enough on your body of work and what's on film to command a lot of money, and is there a buyer besides the Browns?
Oh, there's certainly a buyer besides the Browns. And I know a lot of people don't give Buster Screen credit, don't realize how he is essential to the success of his defense, but it's hard to find good cover corners, especially a guy that can go inside and outside. Does he get beat? Does he have plays when you scratch your head saying, what the heck is that? But that's going to be the case when you're opposite Joe Hayden, where you get the majority of the attention.
Right.
Yeah, but Buster's in a position where he started from the bottom and has made himself an opportunity where he will make a lot of money because, again, it's a rare skill set to find a guy that can cover consistently, especially in this day and age. So, yeah, there'll be suitors. But whether or not his best bet is always, in my opinion, to stay with the organization that's brought you through and that believes in you and that's giving you a vote of confidence. Because think about this. They didn't give a job to Justin Gilbert. They totally could have done that. As a matter of fact, it's almost expected when a number one pick
comes in,
especially when a top 10 pick, and they still stuck with Buster and didn't go the route of, well, we got to play the rookie. So in that regard, Buster has a great opportunity here because he has coaches that believe in him and ultimately a defense that helps him have success. And I'm sure the Browns have money on top of that to pay him. So really there's no need to go outside, but there will be interest, I'm certain.
But, Gerard, do you think that Buster Skrine right now, in his mindset, is trying to hit the open market to be paid as a number one corner, and us knowing we've already paid that number one corner money, significant money to Joe Hayden on one side, that we can't spend that kind of money opposite Joe Hayden? Can he go get that in the market?
No, he cannot, and his numbers don't even suggest he can get that. And I couldn't even imagine his agent selling him that swamp land or even believe that he'll get Joe Hayden type of money. He won't command that. He hasn't done enough yet from a stat standpoint to get that. Now, if he had the same type of a year as young man in Miami Grimes in Miami, he's going to get that money. But obviously, he didn't have that type of a season, and he hasn't had that type of a season. So, no, he won't get that. Does he fall in the $5 million, $7 million threshold? He may get that.
I have to tell you, there's something about him I really like, and I think you touched on it when you were describing him. He does get beat. Okay.
Yes.
But he's in the fight. And I think at the end of the day, I think at the end of most days, Gerard, I think he wins more than he loses. And he does get a lot of business because of the Hayden factor being over on the other side. But if you can come out of there, well, you tell me, you played the position. If you can come out of there and say, I won more than I lost every Sunday, you've got a good career, don't you?
Oh, you have a great career on your hand. Now, obviously, Deion Sanders is best cover corner of all time because he never lost, it appears. But for Buster, yeah, that is the case. And I used to make the argument when he first got started that he had a chance because he was in a screen. Because sometimes you'll see guys not even, and no offense to Leon McFadden, but think about our experience with him. What was his main issue? He wasn't even close to making a play on the ball.
Right.
In Buster's current case, he's making plays on the ball and he's just mistiming and things like that. Those are all things that you can get better with time. And so for a young corner, with Buster's a fourth or fifth year, he'll enter his prime in the next 4 to 5 years, so you don't want to give that up. And then after that, things will start trailing off, and if he's fortunate enough, he can make the transition to being a safety.
Gerard, I'm going to switch gears here, and I'm going to, again, Brian Hoyer, we aired his entire interview from the Home and Garden Show. What do you make of Brian Hoyer's comments from the Home and Garden Show in regards to him potentially coming back to Cleveland?
I make it as a guy not completely overwhelmed with the idea of coming back to Cleveland, that he's going to keep his options open, and that if something presents itself that's better, he'll jump on that and go from there. He didn't sound like a guy that was just enthralled with the idea of coming back here because of the things that represented. And on top of that, he's waiting to hear what comes out of this whole text gate as well to kind of help him factor in his decision-making as well. But I didn't get the sense when he used the word Cleveland as opposed to Browns. I liken it to when my wife says to me, Gerard, come here, as opposed to baby, come here. Because for me, I know people, when they
That's
say
terrific.
Cleveland, it's more of a separation, because Brown sounds like more of a term of effect.
Wow. Boy, I'll tell you what, you have put some thought into that. It's, I mean, you've brought a whole new, you know, sight line to that whole situation. I'm going to replay that whole interview now, and I'm going to wait for that. Okay, say the Browns lost Buster Skrine. Okay, say he went to free agency and got a deal with some team and he goes off on his merry way. Number one, then the pressure really comes on Justin Gilbert to grow up. Okay, that has to happen anyway. But what about these other guys that they really feel that they found gold with last year? Kaywan Williams.
Pierre Desir,
who ended up playing very well,
I thought, at
the end of the year. And then they have this kid, Robert Nelson,
yes,
that they kept along all season long. How do you feel confidence-wise that those guys could move up?
Well, I saw Kaywan Williams play enough to know that he can handle it. Now, I didn't like the fact that he got injured a few times.
Right.
And always was seen to be out of the game when we need him. But I would definitely put him as well as Desir ahead of Gilbert just to prove a point to Gilbert. He's going to have to earn his way, and he's not going to be given anything because he's a first-round draft pick. And if it's true that he was late to meetings all the time, I'm really not going to just insert him in as a starter. And outside of free agency, who can you really say by letting Screen go can come in and fill that void as well? Mm-hmm. So I would say you go with those young guys and give them a chance, opportunity, because in spot they did show up, and at some point they have to play. But Gilbert is not, by any stretch of imagination, if I'm running the show, going to be penciled in as a starter. He'll have to earn his way back to that point.
You're absolutely right, Gerard. And my last question for you is, again, we just referenced Justin Gilbert as the first-round pick last year that failed to make the field. I truly feel the Cleveland Browns have to knock 12-19 out of the park. Now, they might not be the most impressive names, you know, when it comes to what a common fan would recognize from college football, but I mean, they need to be instant, impactful players, and my question for you is, what position do you feel the Browns are leaning towards right now, or would you like to see them fill a void offensively or defensively in 12-19?
Well, I think you definitely have to go for defensive lineman, because chances are you're going to lose to Ruben, and who knows how Phil Taylor responded after his injury, so you have a lack of depth right there. And we saw as the year wore on, guys tried to hold up and be strong, but it hurt us big time. When you're laughing, defending a run in the NFL, you have no chance. You know that, Matt. If you can't stop a team from running on you, they can do so many things now because they have a two-way go. So you got to shore that up, and I think you have to commit one of those picks to that. And then, obviously, I would go with the wide receiver position.
Yeah, I think you do, say, yeah.
We don't have, and not that you expect to get one out of draft, but they were some this year, of a true one. We don't have a true big one. We have Miles Austin's coming back, but those days of him being a true one, it's fair to say, aren't there anymore. And who is that guy that can stretch the field still? You don't have that. Now, I love what Gabriel did. I love what Hawk did. But I also think you need a guy with physical presence as well, and we don't have that right now on the roster, in my opinion.
You know, didn't they do an amazing job early on the year when Gordon was out, okay? And really, when we just talked about this, Gerard, before you came on, Cameron was out for a long time too. And they did very well with Gabriel, Hawkins, Austin.
And if it comes down towards, you know, bang for your buck, you got to talk about, we might have had $5 million total tied up in our entire wide receiving core that was starting for Brian Hoyer early in the season.
Right. I mean, they really did a good job.
They did.
They did a great job. You might make the argument, had you not changed anything and putting Josh Gordon back in there, you're probably in the playoffs. Because obviously when he came back in, it disrupted a lot of what was taking place on that offense.
Yeah.
From a receiver standpoint.
Yeah, some of those guys, for instance, like Hawkins and in particular Gabriel, they got lost.
Yes.
You know, they became forgotten receivers out there.
Yeah. Yeah.
Gerard, thanks very much for joining us. And let me just ask you a personal question right now. If my wife calls me Jim or Jimmy but not baby, I should worry?
Yes, you should.
Thank you, Gerard.
Thank you.
You've
guys.
Helped in so many ways today.
It's got to be the tone. Jim? Jimmy?
You know, it's the tone
about
as well.
The tone.
Yeah, I mean, let me tell you, it's going to be a very important phone call home after the news tonight. I'm going to evaluate. Thanks, Gerard. Gerard Cherry joining us. Justin Gilbert's got he's really got to get it.
He's got to grow up.
Huh?
He's
got to
grow up.
Wow.
And he's got to – I looked for
him.
Do
you realize now in the 2 days I've been with you how many guys we've said have to grow up?
A lot. A lot.
We're not saying, hey, their hands have to improve. Hey, their lateral speed has to improve.
We need to run a faster 40.
Yeah, they need to grow up.
Grow up.
Yeah, unbelievable. Yeah. Break time here on Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford here on ESPN 850 WKNR.